I realize I've got a limited amount of time, although Dave had 16 minutes in that first lesson, but someone else was timing too. But I do want to say it's really great to be here, and I've really enjoyed, I was able to be here for the early session for the seminar on the elders, and I think that was very practical. One of my fellow elders was with me this morning, and he was talking about how good that was. I was talking to Dave on the phone just last night, and my wife heard me talking about him, and she goes, "Oh, is he speaking tomorrow? I want to hear him." She goes, "He was my favorite preacher before you." Now, you would think that that's a compliment. The problem is that she met him about 5 years after I had been preaching. So I don't know where I was in that first 5 years, but clearly you were the first favorite preacher before me. Let me ask you to take a look real quickly up at the PowerPoint behind me, because when David asked me to speak on this topic over a year ago, he asked me to speak on the subject of the power of forgiveness, but he said the theme was empowered by God. And I want you to notice that phrase right before that, because that's the part that really clicked with me. And it would be very easy for me to talk about the power of forgiveness, talk about this idea about how God has forgiven us and we need to forgive one another, but I kept going back to empowered. You see, I teach English grammar in the School of Preaching, at the Florida School of Preaching, and those words, power and empower, are two very different things. One is a noun, one is a verb. And the word power is defined as the ability to act or produce an effect. But empower, the verb, the action, means to give someone the authority or power to do something. And so what I'm doing is probably a little bit different than maybe was intended here, but I'm taking a look at this from the standpoint of how does God empower us through forgiveness? Because that's something that really brought to mind, something that I don't really hear a lot talked about, and maybe it's something that we need to recognize as well. So I go back to my early days in the 70s as a small child when Saturday morning cartoons were the best. And Saturday morning TV shows were good and pure and had morals at the end. And if some of you happen to be old enough to remember the great TV show Shazam, which dealt with Captain Marvel, you'll see that playing behind me. This was the story of young Billy Batson, a teenage boy who was a good kid. He toured around the highways and byways of the land with his mentor by the name of Mentor. And we hear in the opening segment of this that young Billy Batson is given the power by the immortal elders to summon great strength in the utterance of a single word, Shazam. By the way, Shazam stands for Solomon, Hercules, Achilles, Zeus, Atlas, Mercury. It was the six elders who for some reason gave him that power. You had Greek mythology there, Roman mythology. You had Titans versus God. And did you notice the very first one? Solomon, right out of the Bible. Now, of course, this is made up. But it's interesting that this particular superhero didn't accomplish his powers by his own wealth, like Batman, his own intelligence, like Iron Man. He was empowered with this ability by someone else. And he was to use it to fight injustice and to fight wrong and to accomplish overall good. And so that was the fun of that particular TV show on Saturday mornings. There was a lot of other ones. David asked me what song he could lead for me this morning, and I said, well, the introduction to He-Man would be good. He said he couldn't find that as a PowerPoint slide. But it's the same thing. As I was talking to his wife a moment ago, here's another character who is given great power to right wrongs and to fight evil in the world. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Don't think about simply the power of forgiveness, because God's power for us in forgiving us is extraordinary. And what we can do and the difference we can make in people's lives when we forgive them, or at the very least, we have a consistent forgiving attitude toward them, looking for the opportunity to be reconciled. These are things that are good in and of themselves, but I want you to consider for just a moment in the last minutes that I have left, I want us to consider, how does God empower us? How does He give us authority and power through forgiveness? And I want us to take a look in your Bibles. Turn to Romans chapter 6, because that's where I'm going to take most of the lesson this afternoon. But as you're turning there, we're well familiar with that moment in time when we come in contact with the blood of Jesus and we receive the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38, Peter would say, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." Saul would be told by Ananias in Acts 22:16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." We know that that is that moment in time. And when Paul is addressing the church at Rome, he is talking to a group of people who have come in contact with the blood of Christ. And I think that there are things that he's reminding them, not simply about the power of forgiveness, but what they have been empowered to do because of that forgiveness. If you take a look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, the first thing that I see is that we are empowered by God through forgiveness with a new identity. Did you see Billy Batson back there uttering Shazam and he turns into Captain Marvel? You know, this teenage boy turns into this adult superhero. Think about what happens to us when we are forgiven. We are transformed ourselves. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for He who died is freed from sin." Think about what this means. We are no longer that old self. We are a new self. We are to walk in newness of life. We come up out of the waters of baptism, a new creation. Jesus would tell Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "You are born again." In fact, born again to wear a name, Philippians 2 verse 9 says, is above all names. Clark Kent wears the name Superman. And you can use that illustration for others. But we get to wear the name above all names. Our new creation is that of a Christian, someone who walks like Christ, who talks like Christ, and who does good and rights wrong and fights injustice and stands for what is right according to God. We get to be Christians. Go back to the text and let's take a look at verses 8 through 11. Paul says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Point number two, we are empowered by God through forgiveness with a new master. New set of instructions. And I would even say a new strength, a new empowerment, a new direction for where we might go. Think about what Paul would say in Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13. "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Some heroes in the comic book world have superpowers that come from some other origin. Some of them are born with power, some of them achieve these powers in some mystical way. But here's what's interesting. To the child of God, to the person who has received the forgiveness of God, we have been empowered to have God live in us. My daughter, who works at Publix, we were there last Sunday morning at 6 o'clock for a food drive for the local food bank. And so I'm there at 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning for a bunch of teenagers to go running down aisles, pushing shopping carts, clearing groceries into them to raise food for the food bank. And my daughter, who works there and has a good relationship with the local Coca-Cola man, comes running down to me in the middle of this. He's evidently there making deliveries, but she comes running down, dragging this adult man with her, and says, "Here's my dad. He knows a lot. Ask him." That was how the conversation began. And evidently they've been having a Bible discussion, and so here was his very simple question. How exactly does the Holy Spirit indwell man? Very simple question. And so we got to talking about that, and we were discussing this kind of thing. But I want you to consider this for just a second. I said, why is it that everybody always focuses on the Holy Spirit only dwelling in us? The Bible teaches us that the Father and the Son dwell in us. God dwells in us. Paul tells the church at Philippi that it is God who works in you. It is God who accomplishes great good in you. And the child of God, the person who has received forgiveness, is the only person on the face of the planet who is empowered with this capability, this walk, this having God with us. In fact, it would be Paul who would say just two chapters later in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, God, who gives me strength. And so I want you to think that the source of good that is within us, that which we learn from the Scriptures, that which we learn from the only source that gives us understanding about God, we are empowered with great strength and new direction. Paul would say it very eloquently in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's take a look back at Romans chapter 6 for just a moment. Paul asks the question back up in verses 1 and 2. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Jump down to verses 12 through 19. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. The final point, we are empowered by God through forgiveness with a new purpose. Back in the day, a day almost before mine, you used to hear one particular superhero who would go out and say, I fight for truth, justice, and the American way. Dave, you know what happened in the most recent DC Justice League movie? Superman said, I fight for truth, but I'm particularly fond of justice. He never mentioned the American way. American way seems to be very unpopular right now. So also is the way of God. And as those who have been forgiven by God, as those who have been empowered by God through this forgiveness, we have a new fight to fight. We no longer fight those fights that we used to fight in the flesh. We no longer are obsessed or burdened by the problems of this world other than the idea that we are here to combat sin, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others through the example that we live and the teaching that we share. So we also fight for truth and justice, but most importantly, we fight for a new way. Jesus would say in John 14, I am that way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so as a result of that, we want to be a people who are following a new path. We talk about following in the footsteps of Jesus, walking the places that He would walk and in the way that He would walk. We talk in the way that He talked. We try to think with the mind of God. And in so doing, we understand what we have been authorized or empowered to do through this forgiveness. And that is to be a brand new creation as a child of God, fulfilling His will for our lives.